Hi, everybody. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Joel. I've been serving here at East Freo Baptist for the past 7 weeks or so as a student youth pastor. I'm also a husband and a father. My wife, Beck, and I have 3 kids. So let me see if I can get this thing to work. There we go. So here's a photo of my family. This picture was taken at the start of this year in front of the Tokyo train station when we were on holidays in Japan. Polly on the left is 14. Sasha in red at the front is 11. And Micah on the right is 17. Polly and Sasha came to the service last night, so they're not here this morning. They're actually at Mounties this morning. But Beck and Micah are here, just sitting there. So for the past couple of years, I've worked full-time as a student pastor at Mount Pleasant Baptist. But since starting at East Freo, I've embarked on a new season of work. I'm currently 4 days a week at Curtin University and serving 1 day a week here. And I also study part-time at Bible College. Now, a few weeks ago, when Pastor Mike was invited to be the guest preacher for Father's Day at Mount Pleasant Baptist, he asked me if I would be open to preaching here in his place today and on Saturday as well. And he asked me to pick a suitable Bible passage to preach about. Now, I was really drawn to Psalm 91, a passage that points to God the Father's provision and protection over us, his chosen children. Now, since the Psalms were originally written to be songs, I thought I actually have a go at putting Psalm 91 to some music. So instead of the customary Bible reading that you guys have here, I'm going to try and sing it instead. Now, the words are based on the NIV translation with a little bit of creative license to help the cadence of the words flow. Now, in ancient times, when not many people could read, Scripture was often experienced just by listening to it. So I'll have the words up on screen in a minute, but feel free to just close your eyes and try and follow along with your ears. Now, just before we do that, let me just open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that by your Spirit and by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that you have created a path of salvation for all of us who call you Abba or Father. We are open to your word today, and as we do that, Lord, please open our ears and our hearts that we may receive the message that you have for us in Psalm 91. I pray this all in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He'll save you. From the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence, under His wings you'll find refuge, and His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night. You're the arrow that flies days by day. Know the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Know the plague at midday. A thousand may fall at your sight. 10,000 in your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only observe it with your eyes and see my justice fall like rain to punish the wicked. Proclaim and believe the Lord is most high. He is my refuge and my dwelling. No harm will overtake or disaster come near to your tent. His angels will guard your ways. They will lift you up so you won't get hurt. You'll tread onto the lion and the cobra. You'll trample on both of them. Because he loves me, he'll be rescued, says the Lord. I'll protect him as he calls on me today and acknowledges my name. I will answer him and be with him in trouble. I'll honor him with long life. And satisfy him as well. I'll show him my salvation. And always be his refuge. The God in whom he trusts. God in whom he trusts. The God in whom he
So before we unpack this scripture for today, I'd like to tell you a story. A few years ago, I went through a really difficult season in life. I felt like the ground beneath my feet started to fall away. There were quite a few different things happening at the time, but the thing that probably rocked me the most was that I lost my job of 10 years through some quite challenging circumstances. I went from being the primary wage earner in our family to being unable to support my wife and my kids financially. And it was probably the most difficult time I've experienced in my adult life. And I went through a season of depression. I had built much of my sense of identity in my achievements and the work that I had done. And when it was taken from me, I really struggled to know who I was. I was crying out to God and asking him why all this was happening and how was I going to find my way out of this mess. And although I couldn't articulate it then, I sensed deep down that there was no security to be found in my circumstances. Now that was my story. But I wonder if there's been a time in your life that for whatever reasons, that you felt completely exposed. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Like challenges were coming at you from every direction and you had nowhere to hide. As I look around this room, my guess is that we've all felt deeply challenged at some point. Perhaps even some of you sitting here today find yourself in that season right now. Now, whether you're a younger person dealing with the pressures of school, friendships, and social media, or maybe you're a millennial juggling career and family, or you're a Generation X person like myself, sandwiched between the responsibilities of aging parents and growing kids, or maybe you're even someone more mature with years of wisdom and experience. You've been around the block, so to speak, watching the world around you change faster than you can keep up with. We all need security. So where do we look for that? The perfect Instagram feed? That one friend who always has it together? Maybe it's an internet connected ring camera doorbell, your investment portfolio, your retirement fund, or your superannuation. Maybe your current solace is found on your telephone, doom scrolling, binge watching TikTok or Netflix to kind of forget your problems. Maybe it's retail therapy or that glass of wine or three that takes the edge off. Now, my sense is that most of us know this already, that none of these things can actually guarantee that we're going to be okay. They're a bit like having an umbrella in a hurricane. Maybe it offers some respite, but when the storms really hit, it's not going to be enough. The truth is, we're all searching for something unshakable in a world that feels like it's shifting under our feet. We're longing for the kind of love that says, I've got you, no matter what. Now, Psalm 91, which we're going to look at today, it's not just ancient poetry or song. This is our Heavenly Father's invitation into His protective embrace. It's like He's saying, hey, I see you looking everywhere else for safety. Let me show you the love that I've had for you all along. Now, this is my title slide. I picked this image because I really like this digital artwork. It's a piece by an artist called Kevin Carden. And Kevin makes really evocative artwork in Photoshop. You can find his work online. And as a Christian, faith-based themes are really a strong and prominent feature in Kevin's artwork. Here we see an amazing scene inspired by Psalm 91. A young girl is sitting in a field with her father, and there are hundreds of arrows coming from the left side at them. Now, if you take a closer look, you'll see that the girl is actually sitting in a really relaxed posture. She's quietly taking in the scene as the arrows harmlessly fly past her. Behind her, her father holds up a shield to absorb the arrows. He's working hard to protect his daughter within this cocoon of safety. Now, you may notice there's actually so much beauty around them. They're sitting in a field of really gorgeous, blooming wildflowers. Although she's aware of the danger, the girl seems unaffected by the chaos that's swirling around her. She's taking in the beauty of the scene around her as she observes the arrows flying about. She has confidence, knowing that her father loves her deeply and that he's working hard to keep her safe. Now, for some of us here, this image is a beautiful reflection of the type and love and relationship we've enjoyed with our own fathers. But for many of us, this is an ideal that our worldly fathers have struggled to live up to. Now, I'm here today to tell you that whatever your family's story might be, that we all have a Father in heaven who actually meets this ideal. One that for those of us who are fathers, provide us with an example that we can live up to. A father who loves us deeply, more than we could possibly understand in this lifetime. But more than that, our Heavenly Father is always working hard to keep us safe. Even when we have our backs to Him, He always offers us refuge and shelter, no matter what's going on for us in our external circumstances. So let's dive in to unpack the word. Now the psalm opens up with one all-important verse that forms the premise of everything else that follows. The word dwells means to live, to make your home. I know that for my own life, for most of my own life, I didn't make God my dwelling place or my home. I treated God more like an Airbnb down south. When life got too tough and I needed rest, I'd book a holiday retreat to get away from the things around me and to spend time with God. But God's invitation to us is not just to seek Him when the going gets tough, but to actually make Him our permanent dwelling and our home, the place where we spend most of our time in our minds and spirit, even if not always physically, as we go out into the world to attend to the different responsibilities in our lives. It means to stick to Him closely always. The only way you can be in someone's shadow, as it's described there, is if you're really right there next to them all the time. That's how you stay in someone's shadow. And here's the beautiful truth. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can actually make our home in the Father's presence. As it's written in 1 John chapter 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we can be called children of God, and that is what we are. In verse 2 of this psalm, we read, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This is really personal, family language. The writer of this psalm is not talking about some kind of distant deity. He's talking about His Father, His protector, and His safe place. Now, verses 3 and 4 contain some really powerful imagery. For context, that word fowler, if you don't know what it is, I didn't know what it was, I had to look it up. A fowler is a bird catcher. Now, often a bird catcher will use bait and lure to draw their prey in. So I've got a kind of an image here of a crude version of such a trap. Now, God our Father sees the traps before we walk into them. He's like the perfect dad that spots danger and steps in to protect His children. These traps could be temptations set by the devil to lead us away from God, or maybe just bad situations that we get ourselves into. And here's what makes this possible. Jesus already faced the ultimate trap, death itself, and He conquered it. Now in verse 4, we see how God provides us refuge under His wings, like the way a bird protects its chicks with warmth and love. So on the image on the left, you can see the birds, the chicks snuggled nicely there with the parent kind of arms around, wings around. And on the right side is this other image. In the scripture, it says, God's faithfulness is our shield and rampart. If you don't know what a rampart is, I had to look it up as well because I didn't know what a rampart was. A rampart is a small shield used in ancient times. Now, that artwork on the right is another piece by Kevin Carden. It's got this Marvel superhero-like quality about it. The father, again, protecting his child from the dangers around. And in this case, it's fire raining down. It's kind of hard to see on the screen, but the child is actually holding and staring at a beautiful flower in her hand. Again, she's oblivious to the dangers around her. These are such a powerful pair of images of God's love and protection over us, His children. Have you ever had trouble sleeping? Maybe You find yourself laying awake in bed long after you should be asleep, stressing about the difficult stuff that's going on for you. God the Father is awake, and He's right there with you. Maybe you have daytime dramas or impossible deadlines at work to meet. God never sleeps or slumbers. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Now, the writer of the psalm isn't saying that you won't encounter bad stuff. But he is saying that when you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, like this girl in the picture who is there with her father, you won't fear these challenges when they come. You'll just observe them with your eyes. Now, this is a really important truth for us to hold on to, especially in our culture where anxiety is a significant battle for many daily. And more than this, the end of verse 8 reminds us of the confidence that God is just and fair, that the wicked who are causing suffering will face God's punishment in due time. Now, here's the key idea. This protection comes through relationship. And the way we can dwell in the Father's presence is through relationship with Jesus. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the next bit of the psalm is actually really interesting. Up until now, the voice in the psalm that we hear is actually the author of the psalm. Many scholars think that this might be Moses. Some think it might be David, who wrote many of the other psalms. But here, in this bit, God actually speaks directly. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Listen to his heart, pure love. This is the same love that sent Jesus to the cross. Romans chapter 5 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This satisfaction doesn't start when you die. It actually starts now through Jesus. Eternal life is knowing the Father through the Son and experiencing his protective love every single day, in the moment, now. And of course, then there's the salvation after this life. Now, some of you might be sitting here with arms folded saying, but Joel, you know, the words in the psalm are really nice and all, but surely this is not a blanket promise. The reality is that bad stuff happens all the time. Having faith in God doesn't just make the problems go away. Well, I'm really glad that you raised that point, because you're right. These promises are not to be interpreted in that way. Many of us know that when you become a follower of Jesus, your problems don't just disappear. I would go so far as to say that Satan actually wants us to read and understand Psalm 91 as an absolute promise for every situation. Why do I say that? Because when bad stuff happens in our life, and bad stuff will happen, we'll turn around and we'll get angry with God and we'll say, God, you promised to keep me safe, but look at what's happening to me now. And then you may even walk away from your faith. Indeed, some of us here have done that before. Some of us have loved ones or people in our lives that are still doing that. Now, here's some Bible trivia for you. Throughout the Bible, Satan often twists God's words to sow confusion in the hearts of people. But as far as I can tell, there's just one spot in the whole of the Bible where Satan quotes Scripture perfectly. And that's in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days, the devil tried to tempt Jesus into sin by taking him up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem. And he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and that they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's a direct quote from Psalm 91. I've kind of put the two passages up side by side so you can compare. Satan was trying to convince Jesus to throw himself down, saying that Scripture says that if you dwell in God's shelter, then no bad stuff is going to happen to you. His angels are going to bring you to safety. And I love the way that Jesus responds so coolly. And he actually responds in a way that teaches us how to interpret and understand Scripture in a more holistic way by reading the rest of the Bible. So Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So, how should we then understand the promises of Psalm 91? Firstly, know that challenging circumstances will come. But, as Scripture says, we should consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And more than that, that through it all, we can rest in the assurance that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So it's all good and fine to, listen to a good sermon. For most of my life, I kind of did that. You know, I'd go to church on a Sunday and listen to the sermon and listen to Scripture and thought, yeah, that's all really great. And then I'd walk out of church on Sunday and Monday morning rolls around and all the challenges come. But then Sunday comes around and I'm a Christian again. So my invitation to you is to expand God into the rest of your life, into every part of your life. So what does this mean for you in terms of how you actually live into the Scripture? It means you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to rely on temporary fixes. You can dwell in the shelter of the Most High. But there's a catch. It's actually a choice. You can choose to make God your home and dwelling, not just the guy that you visit on Sundays at church, not just when the going gets tough. You can choose to trust him. You can choose to live in the closeness and the safety of his shadow. So how do you do that? Well, firstly, you can immerse yourself in Scripture. It means reading the Bible. Now, if you're like me, you know, when I first started reading the Bible, I just found it really difficult. I grew up in a church tradition where we didn't really read the Bible very much. And so I found the words quite obscure. I found it hard to get to the meaning, but I started to lean on some resources, and one resource that was really good for me is this thing called The Bible Project. So it's a podcast, it's a YouTube channel, it's just called The Bible Project. And they make short videos, sort of like 5 to 12 minutes in length, that explain the broad strokes of all of the books of the Bible, individual books. So it's a great way to kind of get into that. But there's so many other great resources that you can look at as well, right? What you can do also, and this is really, I'd encourage you to do it, is to spend time in prayer, right, daily. If this is not something that you're doing at the moment, let me invite you into that space of spending time with God in prayer. And really important is spending time with a community of believers. And when you do that, everything changes. Not because your circumstances improve, like automatically, but because your soul finds peace in the middle of the storm. Now, just to close off the ending of my own story that I shared earlier, where I left off was that I found myself in a difficult situation that I didn't have the power to change. I had no job, no income for several months. And the sinking feeling that I'd built my sense of identity and my worth in the transient things of this world. That's when I started to make a conscious choice in my own life to not just retreat to the Lord's safety in times of trouble, but to actively make Him my dwelling place, my home every day. I started to immerse myself in the Bible, reading it every day. I made prayer a priority, starting and ending each day in prayer. I made a conscious effort to be part of a community. Our family were already part of a connect group, or what you might call a home group at Mount East, Mount Pleasant Baptist. But I started to be more open and authentic in my sharing with the other brothers in Christ who were part of that group. Now, although my circumstances didn't change immediately, slowly I started to see my situation in a new way, with the realization that God wanted to draw me closer to Him. But I wasn't getting the message because of the way I was living. He actually needed to get my attention so that I could change. And boy, did He get my attention. I'm quite stubborn by nature. My wife, Beck, will attest to that. But God also knows that. And He actually used that situation to wake me up. And since then, the way that I lived has changed in a really significant way. Although it was the most difficult season in my adult life, I wouldn't change anything, to be honest with you. My faith and my relationship with God has done a complete 180. And I know that God can do the same transformation in your life. You just need to let Him in, and you need to choose Him. So just to end off this sermon today, I want to finish off on a prayerful reflection. So can I, if you feel comfortable, can I just encourage you to just close your eyes? I'm going to guide you through a reflection of the Lord. Just for a couple of minutes. So the question that I want you to put to yourself and to offer up to the Lord is, where do you run to when life feels unsafe? Is it a habit? Is it a person? Is it a distraction? How's that working for you? Just be really honest with God about that. Where do you go in that time? Now the next question is, what would it look like for you to dwell in God's presence daily? Not just to visit, but to actually live there. What does that look like to you? Bring that image to mind. Now finally, what fear do you need to release to God today? Name that fear and actively release it to God. Trust Him with it. Heavenly Father, You hear the prayers of each and every person seated here today. You know their hearts. You know the truth of the things that they're going through. Lord, we offer up these prayers. We offer them up in earnesty and in surrender. And I know it's something that You're going to continue to do with them for the rest of today and throughout this week. And Lord, I ask that by Your Spirit that You prompt each and every one of us here today about the fears and the things that You want to take from us, the weight and the yoke that You want us to yoke to release those burdens, Lord. So help us to have the strength to surrender all those things and to actually dwell in You. I pray this all in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.